listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, happy Tuesday. How are you? Glad to have you all back this week. Hope your week went well. As we continue to recognize Domestic Violence Month coming up for October of this year, we're doing all that we can to bring awareness to domestic violence and domestic violence situations and recognize our lost loved ones through the transition of, you know, could be disagreements and so on. But we are going to share some things about, you know, some people that have become victims. And it's a very hurtful thing, you know, to lose a family member due to domestic violence. I ran into some people over the weekend that mentioned a friend of theirs to me. Her name is Artoria D. Frazier, aka D. That's the name she went by. She was from originally from Brooklyn, New York. She was, you know, an average lady. She did a lot of community events, feeding the homeless, sharing with people in need. She was a beautiful person. I don't know her per se, but from what I've been told, she was an outstanding woman that did a lot for various people in several communities inside of Brooklyn and New Jersey, Philadelphia. So just wanted to show some recognition for her today. But, you know, it was kind of weird. I heard this story on, you know, she was such an outstanding person and, you know, she was that go-to person if you needed any type of help. But after speaking to several people, because I, like I said, I don't know her. I don't know the situation. She died on May 30th of 2021 due to domestic violence. It was a murder-suicide. So I can't imagine, you know, her saying, okay, you kill me and then you kill yourself later type of thing. It had to be some type of domestic situation for that to happen. And this husband and wife, they left behind two beautiful children that they shared together. So it's kind of heartbreaking because, like the gentleman that was on last week stated, you know, when there's kids involved, it's a different type of ball game because those are the ones that are affected by the domestic violence that happens. I decided to do a little snooping around to find out more about Artoria Frazier, to find out what kind of person she was and what could have led up to the situations at hand. So I reached out to a few of her friends who did not want to come on the show because they said it was a little too painful, which I can understand the manner that this took place. I clearly understand. She was murdered in her home in New Jersey, Haynesport, New Jersey. And, you know, her and her husband shared a beautiful life together. So I'm hearing all types of things that would have led up to her death, you know, as this is still an ongoing investigation. But of course, it's only hearsay. But from what I was told, you know, from one person is that she was a beautiful person. They don't understand how this could have happened to such a good person, such as herself, such a giving person. And then I started scrolling on some of her articles that were out. And, you know, it was kind of weird, you know, as talking to one of, I thought this woman was a friend of hers. And the woman basically said, you know, I don't know if you knew her, but she wasn't the person you think she was. She said, you can't believe everything that's put in the media. And I was kind of baffled at that. And, you know, another individual that I reached out to, you know, via just the Facebook friends to see, you know, who was who and who may know something about this particular case and if they were friends, if they shared any friendship. It was a gentleman named John Wayne that was friends with the husband, and the husband's name is Wayne Hilton. Now, from what investigators have mentioned, is that Wayne Hilton killed his wife, Artoria Frazier, on May 30th, and they don't know why. It's still up in the air. But I got some information from a friend, a so-called friend, that wanted to remain anonymous, that a lot of this stemmed from really Artoria wanting out of the marriage, wanting a divorce. And the husband saying, "Listen, hey, okay, you want a divorce, you can get a divorce, but you're not gonna get, you know, my house, you're not gonna get any money." I do believe from the conversation I had with the friend that they were married for over 20 years, and the husband did believe Wayne. He did believe that Artoria was actually having an affair, not behind his back, but in front of his face with a friend. So, you know, this is like a really bad situation that ended up happening. Not only bad, but a very sad situation that has happened because you have now two children that are parentless, you know, and they're at the age where they need guidance. So it's kind of strange for this to happen. So I just wanted to make you guys aware of this particular story because it kind of stood out when I heard the story from a friend of Artoria's, a young lady, and she was a little baffled when I started questioning her. You know, while I surfed the internet and I was looking for the obituary for a husband, because the husband was not mentioned in her obituary. And the young lady stated, "Well, isn't that kind of weird to you that they posted all this good stuff about, you know, Wayne, well, Artoria and Wayne just got kind of like pushed to the side?" And I think maybe the family may have known of the issues at hand and know that it wasn't like, hey, you know, the average murder suicide where kill me and kill yourself next, but make sure you do it. That way, you know, there's no one left behind. And I'm just glad, by the way, the children were not in the home at the time because sometimes these situations can go left. And before you know it, the children are dead as well. So you don't know the person's frame of mind when it comes to, you know, I'm going to take everybody out because I'm unhappy with the situation. So this story really touched me. And I was blown away actually by this story in the manner that, you know, the media handled the recognition of Wayne Hilton. There's not much on him. Like, it doesn't say he was a good guy. He was a great father. He took care of his kids. He was supportive of his wife. I mean, sometimes, guys, you know, you can be pushed to the edge and say, "Listen, I've had enough." And you don't know what's going to be that ticking bomb for someone mentally when they feel as though they're being used. And I've been with this woman married legally for over 22 years. for her to now want another man? You know, give or take, guys sometimes they get out of shape. They got this old man gut going on. They got, you know, no energy. They're always falling asleep and dozing off. So sometimes, you know, things can go down the road of you're not attractive anymore. And that goes both ways, because the guy could be looking at his wife like, you're not attractive anymore. So, I mean, it goes down a two-way street when it comes to being married, keeping yourself preserved. Not saying you're going to be young forever, but at the end of the day, doing whatever it takes to keep your marriage together and to stay away from that domestic part. For instance, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, celebrities, they're average people at the end of the day. Jada comes clean about August Alsina, her entanglement. And now this word is such a big word for, you know, everybody. Now everybody's like, oh, I want an entanglement, you know? And now Will is finally coming clean and saying, hey, I'm not the perfect guy you thought I was. Everybody was feeling sad for Will. You know, she cheated on him. She took away his manhood by putting it out in the open. But the real truth is, Jada did that to protect her family. Because the mindset of August Alsina was, I'm putting you in my love song. I'm putting you on blast. And she knew this was coming. So she had to do what she had to do by coming out public with it and saying, hey, guess what? I messed up. I fell for a younger guy. Will was no longer attractive to me. Will had his own demons he was battling. Because guess what? Will just recently came out and said, I screwed up too. I didn't have an entanglement, but I had fantasies of other women. I was fantasizing about, you know, Halle Berry and her being, you know, on top of me. So all of these things are a high embarrassment. And you got to have a balance when these things come out and these things are being brought to you, or you find out that my other half is really cheating on me. You're embarrassed, you're ashamed, you're angry, you're very emotional. So the only thing for you to do is revenge when that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is, if that person doesn't want you, or you don't want that other person, or you feel like you need to have an open relationship, you know, where you guys date who you want and do what you want, when you want, you got to have an understanding about that going forward, because these are the things that can damage a situation, such as death. And unfortunately, in this particular Artoria Frazier situation, there was some hidden secrets, and I believe the man just couldn't handle anymore. You know, according to friends that knew him, he did serve some time in jail previously, and maybe his attitude could have been, guess what? And this happens all the time. It's just like Bonnie and Clyde. You know, they weren't, you know, Bonnie was a little different, but Clyde was more like, I'm going to ride to die with you type of thing. And Bonnie, she already, what people didn't know about Bonnie and Clyde was Bonnie already had a husband somewhere, and Clyde was like her play toy. But this is what adds up to these type of situations. So it's good to, if you're going to cheat, keep it a secret, go to an island where no one knows you, if you feel like that's something that you need to do. But this situation about Artoria Frazier and this murder scene here that's still in the investigation, it's kind of puzzling, because they described how she was murdered, but they left out the part on how Wayne possibly took his own life. I couldn't find anything out there in regards to that. And sometimes when these things happen, it's more of, did he kill himself, or was it really a murder suicide? Could it have been someone came in and staged it, murdered her, you know, put the gun in his hand, and then wham, he kills himself, you know, via maybe drinking poison? They left that fine detail out. And I believe that fine detail was left out for a reason. The fine detail was left out because they want to see who's going to come forward and say, hey, guess what? You know, they're raising their hand. See me? I got information here. So sometimes that is the case with these types of investigations. They want to see what you know, and then they'll move forward. Now, I was talking to a gentleman that, I reached out to on the friend list and just put the word out. Hey, I'm trying to find maybe someone to come on the show to say what kind of person Wayne was, being as though we don't know what type of person he was. You know, did he have a bad attitude? What kind of guy was he? You know, we don't know what kind of guy he was. And that's what I want to find out. So, John Wayne, if you're out there and you're listening, please call in. We'd like to hear from you, because the more information we have on who Wayne really was, you know, it would be really nice to know something about him, as though I couldn't even really find an obituary that was decent enough for his passing. So there's something there missing, you know, and hopefully a friend can call in and say, listen, he was this type of guy. Something that we know about this guy versus he was just the husband lounging around for 22 years and may have been, you know, unattractive as the years went by. Some people look at it as fat and bald. You're no longer attractive at that stage of life. But if you have money, you become very attractive at that, you know, fat and bald look. You know, my husband is like, not my husband per se, because I got a real gym, but the average guy who doesn't work out and they let themselves go, usually it's more like they give up. They're like sitting on the couch, they're eating bonbons. They're actually, you know, they're happy and content. I'm happy with my life, and there's nothing else I want to do about it. You know, so that makes you wonder sometimes. And sometimes it's vice versa, guys. I'm not going to be biased with this. Sometimes it's the women also that give up and they don't do their hair anymore. They don't put the makeup on anymore. But granted, if you've been a plain Jane from day one and you're happy with being a plain Jane, that's okay as well. Because guess what? If that man loved you as a plain Jane and he married you, maybe he wants you to dress up your plain Jane a little bit. No more flowered gowns. You know, that type of stuff. It seems like the caller is trying to call in. Let's see if we can get John Wayne on this line. John Wayne, are you out there? I believe he's coming on now. Bear with me. Sometimes, you know, the producers backstage have to give them a moment to vet out the calls. You know, it's just, it's very sad. You know, this whole situation. And, you know, as we move forward with Domestic Violence Month, we're going to look forward to bringing out more truth of these stories, actual stories, nothing fictional here, of real domestic violence situations. Like a lady just stabbed her husband to death because he refused to cuddle with her. That was very heart-wrenching. You know, people sometimes feel that women cannot be the perpetrator when it comes to domestic violence. And that, in fact, is not the truth. This is what happens. So sometimes we have to be prepared to hear both sides of the story and make sure that it's just not the man, because, you know, men have a tendency, they're bigger, than everybody else. So they always figure the man is the perpetrator. You know, sometimes you got a guy that's like 5'1" and he can be the perpetrator, or a woman that's 4'9", you know. And if my production team can hear me, just know that I have a caller calling in now that's trying to get through. So we'd like to get John Wayne on with us right now. I'm not sure if they are aware of that, but we would like to hear from John Wayne to find out more about Wayne Hilton, his friendship, kind of guy he is. You know, was he the guy that could have did this? Because all of the people that I spoke to in regards to this are Tonya's friends. They're like, she was a sweetheart. She was a doll baby. You know, no one would ever want to do this to her. So, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking. And it's really bad because at the end of the day, you think about the children and you think about, you know, what's going to happen to them now. And it's very heart-wrenching. I believe John Wayne is finally about to get on at this point, so we can hear his side of what he has to say in regards to Wayne Hilton. It's really a sad story, and it actually breaks my heart to be in this position again. You know, I've been in many positions while I've been on this show, and it's been heartbreaking, some of the stories that I had to talk to people about. I believe John Wayne is on now. John Wayne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you
How are you
doing there,
doing?
Mr. John Wayne?
I'm good. I'm good.
I had you sound kind of low there. I'm not sure if your volume is down too low.
I have my volume turned all the way up,
Oh,
and I'm in
okay,
an
good.
empty,
Good.
quiet room.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with Artoria Frazier and Wayne Hilton? By any chance?
Yes, I am. I was good friends with both of them. I knew them for about close to 15 years, maybe a little longer.
And you know, I was trying to find an obituary for Wayne, and I really couldn't find one.
Well,
Do
I
you know
think.
if there was
Well,
ever
what
one
happened
posted
was.
online?
With his obituary, I had reached out to other people that knew him when I found out what had happened. And they were saying that there was going to be a memorial service for Artoria, and they were under the impression that Wayne was going to be cremated. But there was no talk of any type of memorial service for him. But I know some people in Brooklyn got together that went to high school with him and just, you know, gathered, maybe like 20 guys, they just gathered in the street and, you know, said a prayer and, you know, reminisced about him.
Okay. Well, do you think Wayne was the type of guy to maybe not have like life insurance or something?
Know what? That's a good question. I know he was a New York City union electrician, and I know the union would carry insurance for him. I don't know if he had any personal life insurance, though. Me and him never had any discussions about life insurance, anything like that.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you know about unions of any sort, but I wanted to find out if you knew, because sometimes I know people in the union, they usually have like life insurance. The union will say, look, we'll guarantee $10,000 to the family towards your funeral expense in the event that something happens. Have you ever heard of anything like that before?
Not
Dealing with unions?
not off the job. Not off the job. They have insurance for you on the job, but I never heard of any insurance that covered any union members off the job.
Okay. And another thing I was kind of lost about is, you know, I was reading all these good things about Artoria on social media, and it was basically, you know, she was such a great person. She did a lot to feed the homeless and give back to her various communities because she was from Brooklyn and she also did stuff out in Jersey. You know, I was just kind of wondering, because I had a conversation with a friend of hers, a young lady that constantly does fundraisers on the behalf of her children. She said that Artoria was not the woman that the media really talked about. So I was kind of wondering, you know, since you kind of knew these people, like, what was your relationship like with them? Was it friendly?
Well, our relationship was, it was friendly. Now, I'm not going to get on here and say bad things about anybody. I will say the truth. I may cover it a little bit, but I will say the truth. I found her to be relatively cordial to other people. I found her with Wayne to be a little on the aggressive and unfriendly and unbending side, but he never showed her the same attitudes that she showed him. You know, I know that they were getting ready to go, they were in the process of going through a divorce, you know, and things were starting to get moving, and then they would get it going in one direction and then they would change and decide that they were doing something else. But, you know, the way the media speaks about her and the way people speak about her, those are people that were close to her. Those were people that knew her way better than I did. And those were people that volunteered and helped her to feed the homeless and to feed not only the homeless, I guess the needy as well. You know, she was doing that for the general public. And maybe by doing all of that for others, it made her feel better about the things that she wasn't doing in her own home. You know, so, I mean, that's the take that I get on it. You know, she was doing all that stuff and, you know, I don't think she was doing all that she could do at home.
Okay, so maybe it was like, okay, we're going to get a divorce. But sometimes married couples go through the, I think I want a divorce, but I still love my spouse and I think we want to stay together. So was it more like they were in that stage of confusion?
No, they were well beyond that. They're well beyond that. Wayne and her had decided that they were going to get a divorce and then they were going to sell the house and work it out with their other assets. That went on for maybe 3 or 4 months. Then things changed and she decided that she wanted to keep the house instead of selling it. So they were going to refi the house and she was going to take the refi money and pay Wayne his half of what the house was worth. So they were definitely moving forward with the divorce. There was no doubt about that.
Okay. So do you think it was basically over at that point for them?
Without a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. Me and Wayne would talk on the phone a lot, you know, and he never talked about any animosities towards her or, you know, anything where he just didn't feel like there would be anything that, like, would happen. So my impression from their marriage is it was over. They both knew it was over, and they were moving forward. And then in the process of moving forward, I guess other things started to come up, and it kind of changed the course of how they want to get to where they want it to be.
Right. So, I mean, it seems like you knew Wayne for a long period of time.
For about 15 years, maybe a little more. You know, I don't know exactly how long, but at least 15 years.
So was he the type of guy, because, you know, I don't know him, and a lot of people on the millions of people that are on this line today don't definitely know him, but probably a handful. And the story that was published in the paper, but was he like a couch potato guy? Like, I just get off of work, I go home, I go to bed? Or like, was he like, okay, I'm off of work, I'm going to the gym. Hey, John Wayne, you want to join me at the gym? Was he that type of guy?
No, he didn't go to the gym. Wayne had a lot of medical issues. So in the past, maybe 4 years, he hadn't been working. He was out on disability, he got hurt on the job, and had surgery on his foot, his ankle. He had diabetes and kidney issues, circulation issues. He had a pacemaker that was put in like maybe a month or so before all of this happened. And he was a gentle guy. He was very gentle, but you know, like, that was deceptive, because after everything that happened, you know, it's like, we would have conversations and his wife would call him and he would talk to her and he would call her babe, and you know, he would tell her where he was at and doing stuff, and I'm like, wow, seemed like everything is fine. But they were always talking about, well, he was always talking about the divorce. So he wasn't a couch potato at all. He was just unhealthy.
Okay. Do you think he was happily married?
At one time he was. And I guess in the maybe past 7 years, that's when things started changing. You know, and I guess once it started changing, there was no reversing it. You know, it just went full steam ahead and got more and more away from the both of them, so that they wanted to split. And I guess towards the end, it got to the point where they needed to split.
And you say that because of...
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
Did you like see something, maybe like depression settling in with him?
Not at all. Not at all. He was on his medications, but nothing for moods or anything like that. Everything that he was on was, you know, for his diabetes, his heart, his circulation, you know, all kind of medicine for that. Multiple medications for each of his ailments. But depression, not at all. Not at all. He was always a happy guy. I actually never really seen the guy lose it, you know? Never. Right. He's always happy, always smiling. You know, and you see the pictures that people put up of him on Facebook, and people even commented on Facebook about his pictures that this is the way I want to remember you, you know, with him with that big smile, because that's how people know him. He's just a nice guy.
A regular funeral?
This is complete and pure speculation on my part. I think because of what happened, they didn't want to have a memorial for him and grieve him because of what happened. So I think that that's why they decided to cremate him. If they did, I don't even know, because I lost contact with all those people, and people just stop responding when you ask them stuff, you know, and I don't know, but.
Because I couldn't find an obituary. Like, did you ever see an obituary online for
Never.
Wayne?
Never. And even now, you can go online and you'll still see stuff being put up for Toria, but you don't see nothing being put up for him. Nothing.
Right. And that's why I felt it was kind of important to have someone come on to say what kind of guy he was, because at the end of the day, there's nothing online in regards to him being a good dad, him being a good husband, him being a hard worker. I mean, he worked in a union, so you would think that his union rep would have some good things to say about him. That was a little shocking to me.
Yeah, usually a union would, they would send union reps to represent him, but I guess the family never even responded to the union about, you know, anything with him. They probably until afterwards, you know, because there are funds at that union that the family is now entitled to.
Right.
Not life insurance, but just his 401ks and his annuities, they'd be entitled to that.
So he does have like a mother and a father still, or are they, you know, moved on?
I think both of his parents are deceased. I'm not sure. He never, ever talked about them, you know, and I did tell him about my parents, you know, and he never talked about them at all. He never even talked about his siblings. So I don't even know if he had siblings. And to know somebody for so long and not know a little bit more about their closer inner circle, that's a little weird itself. But I never pressed him for information on anything. We talked, and we talked freely, and we talked openly, and we just kept it moving.
So did you guys ever, like, hang out, go have, like, cocktails or beer, like, one-on-one and just
out? We did a couple of one-on-ones. We did them in New York City. You know, we would meet up in the city whenever I was on the East Coast. We'd hang out in the city because he was from Brooklyn and I always liked New York, you know. So when I moved from Jersey and moved to the West Coast, I would hook up with him and we would hang out in the city most of the time. Every now and then we would hang out in Jersey and Newark or something like that. But mainly it was in New York City.
So he was fairly like an average guy. Nothing to write home about, just the average hardworking guy that was very supportive of his family.
Extremely supportive of his family. He loved his wife. He loved his kids. And it was just going sour. You know, he was having some issues with his daughter. She wasn't even living with them at the time. And his son is, I think, now 24, 25. He was living at the house with Wayne and Atoria. And it was just the three of them there. And whenever I seen the son, which was very rare, you know, because I hardly was on his side, but whenever I seen him, he was seemed to be happy, you know. I mean, Wayne would talk about stuff, but he never made nothing a big deal. You know, he never made it seem like, oh, this is all that, until it got to the point where they were going to sell the house. You know, and he was fixing up stuff around the house and had, he was about to get the driveway done or something. And, you know, that's when it became a little more rough for him because he was spending a lot of time on that as well as money. And I guess it became a little overwhelming to know that you're spending all this money and, you know, you're going to leave this place and now I got to go and buy me another place someplace else. And I got to put money together for that, you know? So that kind of irked him a little bit, but he never showed any signs of wanting to be aggressive or anything towards anybody.
Well, do you think maybe, because there was some talks of a young lady that I spoke to yesterday, she had mentioned something about Artoria not being who people thought she was. And she also mentioned that Artoria had a very public relationship going on with someone else. Were you aware of any of that?
Well, Wayne never spoke to me about that. I didn't want to put that in his head, but just from stuff that she was doing and saying made me think that she was out there. But at the same time, you know, Wayne wasn't no angel neither. He was my friend, but he wasn't no angel either. I never seen him with nobody else. But Wayne wasn't no angel. I'll just put it like that.
Okay. Well, John Wayne, I'd like to thank you for coming on today. And I just wanted to ask you this last question. If there's anything you had to say to be a person to stop someone from committing domestic violence against their loved one, what would you tell them here today?
That's a really good question. I wish I would have known about that. But I would say, if it doesn't make a difference if you have a victim or the perpetrator, you need to reach out to somebody for help. And when you reach out to them, you have to be honest. Maybe if Wayne would have reached out to me and been honest about how he was really feeling, maybe I could have said something to him or put him with somebody that could have helped him, and the outcome would have been different. You know, so if you're in a situation like that, if you don't feel that you can reach out to somebody, then you got to get out. You got to get away. You got to save yourself, save your kids, save your family. And in that way, everybody should be protected from anybody that's going to hurt them.
Thank you so much, John Wayne, for that great advice given. And I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today.
I'd like to thank you for doing what you do and keep doing it. You keep the people aware and you give people insight and you give them good information and information that you elaborate on. You bring people on to help you convey your message. It's a wonderful thing you're doing. So you stay safe, stay strong, and God bless you.
Thank you, John Wayne. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Wow. That was a little mind-blowing there, I tell you. Here it is, John Wayne, friend of Wayne Hilton, who obviously took his own life and the life of a woman that he loved so very dearly. This is very heartbreaking. Like I said earlier, you know, being in a position to hear these stories and share them with the rest of the world with hopes of a message getting across to prevent a heinous action that can lead to all kinds of trauma, not just for the children that are left behind, but for the family members and the people that love you, genuinely love you. But what we did get out of John Wayne is that Wayne Hilton had medical issues. He had money issues. He had a beautiful home. By the way, I Google searched the address just to see what kind of home it was. It was an absolutely phenomenal home. Phenomenal home that he shared with his wife, Artoria Frazier. Now the topic of divorce comes into play, and I'm not happy with you. It's 20 some years later. You're not happy with me. Let's just end it, you know, and see how we can co-parent and be good friends at the end of the day. But it didn't work out that way for Artoria, who maybe at the end, Wayne saw greed beginning to settle in. You know, I've put all my hard work and this energy into this home, building it for us. And now you decide you don't want to sell it. You want us to now come to an agreement with you keeping the home. And now I have to find somewhere else to live. That's a little cold-hearted, folks. That's a little cold-hearted. Not only that, but my condolences to the Frazier and the Hilton families during this whole tragedy, because this happened May 30th of 2021. So this is fresh off the grill. So my condolences to the friends and family members and to the friends that were texting me to listen in on the show today. I'd like to thank you guys for giving your input and insight on this situation so at least the children can have closure. And then Wayne not having any family members that anyone knew about. And, you know, because of this murder-suicide that has taken place, our, you know, the wife, she gets the recognition for, and I hate to say it, guys, she gets the recognition. There was an open relationship with her and another gentleman that her friends knew about and family members knew about. And basically it's like you're spitting in the guy's face. You want a divorce. You're putting it out there. Like, I don't want you anymore. And this guy saw his whole world crashing down on him. And he's saying, I'm not going out like this. And listen, it's not his words. Those are my words. Because I can only imagine from the information that we've gotten from John Wayne about money issues. Usually money is the root of all evil. And this guy probably felt like really down on his luck and felt like he was less than a man because she had so much going on and he had nothing going on. Yes, he had a job. He hadn't worked in years. So she's like, what do I need you for? This is usually what comes into play when there's money issues in a marriage and you're not bringing your share to the table. Unless you really have a strong woman that really loves you and says, hey, listen, it's not about the money. It's about us moving forward, staying in love, still building this mountain that we built together, climbing up those hills and sliding back down if we need to, still holding each other's hand. But that's not the case of what happened here. When you come down too hard on a person and you try to take whatever little they have, you're going to see a very, very different person. You know, it's like, give an example. One day I was feeding my dog and he was really hungry. And I pulled the bowl away because it was a dual bowl for the food and the water. I said, you know, I know he's going to be thirsty after. Let me pour some water in his tray. I tried to take his bowl away. He was a Rottweiler. God bless his soul. He passed on from diabetes. But he nearly took my hand off my body because I was taking away something from him that he felt was his and he was enjoying it. And he would have probably killed me to not let me get that bowl. So it's a breaking line when it comes to this domestic violence stuff, you know, and the mental capacity of someone who feels like you're going to take something away from them. They can lose it. You know, I'm quite sure with the Jada and Will situation, if August Alsina said, hey, Will, I'm moving into your multi-million dollar estate with Jada and your kids, guess what? Will, you'll probably be reading about Will Smith today because a lot of people can't handle that to that mental capacity of I'm about to lose it all on the sake of someone else. And it's, you know, it's really bad. Next week, we have a lot to talk about, more celebrations, more recognitions of Domestic Violence Month coming up for the month of October. We have great giveaways coming up, which will be publicized. We're going to put it out there public in the newspaper. So we can get some people to participate in what we're doing for Domestic Violence Month. I'd like to thank you all for calling in today, listening in. I love you all. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Have a good night. Bye.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.